John chapter 14, we're going to start in actually in verse 16. As is our custom, we will take a moment of silent prayer to give us each the opportunity to name and cite any known sins, if we have any, to be sure that we are filled with God the Holy Spirit. If there's anything on your mind tonight that might disturb or distract, now's not the time to be concerned about any problems or difficulties, but to give our undivided attention to the Word of God as is being spoken. Let's bow our heads and pray.
For a while, thinking about the fact that the truth that comes from the Lord Jesus Christ, the truth, which is the truth of God, is something that is eternal. It is a part of His essence. God is veracity. God is truth. And as being truth, truth is eternal. The real truth has no beginning and no end. The real truth is united with God's love, with God's justice, with God's righteousness, with His omniscience, omnipresence, His veracity, with His sovereignty, with His eternal life. The truth is eternal. Therefore, truth, being part of His essence, cannot be surmised or understood by man's rationalism or man's empiricism. And that's why we are on this, because the Philip here is asking the Lord to show him the Father, show us the Father, satisfied is what he said. just leave you alone. Let's put you in a box. You have no faith, and let's let you figure out life on your own. What you will do is succumb to your rationalism, what you have learned, or whatever is your education, whatever is your genetic background, whatever is your environmental background. You will use those things to figure out your reality. None of that will find you God. None of it. Because God's truth is eternal. God's truth is righteous. Not man's righteousness, perfect righteousness. God's truth is justice, not man's justice. Not the justice of the Supreme Court judge on the bench, not that justice. True justice, which is eternal, which has no end and no beginning. God's truth cannot be surmised by man's mind. He cannot figure it out. He never will. And the reason is because it's beyond man. It's beyond us. It's totally beyond our apprehension or our understanding. And that's why God came to share it with us. And he said, the only way you're going to understand it, mix it with faith. Faith gives no merit to me. Faith gives all merit to the object of faith. The creature can rationalize. He can be an empiricist. He can be the greatest empiricist in the world. I know many of them because I've been in science for a long time. Galileo, for instance, figured out that two things fall to the Earth at the same exact speed. Acceleration. Galileo went up to the top of the Tower of Pisa, which is perfect for him because it's leaned over, so when he dropped something, it didn't hit the side, and he dropped objects of different weights, and they both hit the ground at the same time. He made himself a contraption that let all these little spheres that were of different weights just roll up and down, and he saw them roll at the exact same speed. He discovered gravity. Isaac Newton took that concept and made all the laws of physics that we know of. Did it find them God? No. It doesn't find you truth. You understand the world around you, as we saw all the those who are involved in the Age of Enlightenment, they all said, "Ecrasez l'enfant." What was that? Crush it. Wipe God out. It had nothing to do with God. The creature can rationalize and empiricize the world around him, but he will never find the truth without supernatural God. You will never find the truth unless God helps you see it. You will never find the truth unless God reveals it to you. You will never find the truth unless you have just can't. I'm sorry. I cannot gather God's omnipotence. I can't do everything that God does. I cannot gather God's... What else do I need? That's all the rest I can get, right? Sovereignty. I don't have God's sovereignty. I can't gather those things. But I can grasp God's truth. And through God's truth, I will learn God's love. Through God's love, I will learn not only to love my fellow man, but I will also learn to love God and reciprocate that love. So don't fool yourself. You will never learn it on your own or your own intellectual ability. You saw last night that God doesn't call the wise, that the wise think they can figure it out. God calls the nice ones. God preserves his way in a way that uses humans. He keeps the accuracy up. Study that. Satan will do anything he can to get you to doubt the Word of God. Don't let him. The Word of God is eternal truth. You can do nothing against it, only for it. So let's look at Philip again. Look at John 4. Go back to John 14, verse 8. The Lord said, if you had come to know me, you would have known the Father also. So Philip said, Lord, show us the Father, and it is enough for us. Now this sheds a light on thinking of Philip, especially as we saw last night that Philip was tested when the Lord had asked Philip, what are we going to do about these 5,000 plus people who need food? Philip came to the conclusion in his own mind that we're going to have to go to some town and buy a lot of food. In his own mind, he didn't mix the Word of God with faith because he had seen Jesus Christ perform miracles. The proper response of Philip at that time, which is back in John chapter 6 that we looked at last night, is that, Lord, you can make all the food that you want. We've already seen you do miracle after miracle after miracle. But Philip is tested. Tested by whom? He's tested by the Lord. And why don't you go back there? Go back to John. I know you're not. We'll go back in a second. It's only a few pages. Go back to John 6, verse 5. Jesus, therefore, lifting up his eyes and seeing that a great multitude was coming to him, said to Philip, where are we to buy bread that these may eat? Now, in the omniscience of the Lord Jesus Christ and his deity, he knows Philip's going to fail this test. So why test him if he knows he's going to fail? Because look at verse 6. And this he was saying to test him, for he himself knew what he was intending to do. The Lord knows he's going to perform a miracle. He's going to take 5 loaves and 2 fishes and turn them into zillions of calories of food for the whole crowd.
check the spreadsheet, to check the numbers. He said, we can't do it. Why? Because Philip is a practical thinker. I want to harp on this a little more before we leave him, that if you use your human practicality in the Christian way of life, you're going to go nowhere. Philip is a practical thinker, and he applies his practicality. You know, Philip might make a successful accountant. Philip might make a successful businessman. Philip might Messiah. He fulfilled every prophecy about him, and he hung on that cross for you and me. I can't answer all your questions, but that question I can answer. And if that's not enough for you, I'm sorry, I don't know what else to do. I don't, and nor does God. Because God does not show himself to men. I was thinking about this month. My mind spinning all last night. I was up way too late. Say God shows himself. Say God shows up in your bedroom tonight. Says, hey, how you doing? Hey, how are you? You know, of course he's Jewish. He's like, hey, how you doing? How's things? He talks like Jackie Mason, right? Hey, how are you? Say he does. Is that going to convince you? Is it? Could it be that if you saw God with your eyes that you might contemplate the fact that maybe I had, you know, I'm like Ebenezer Scrooge, maybe I had a bit of bad beef, what he said about Jacob Marley and all that. Maybe I was confused, would you believe, would it convince you? Actually, the Word of God says it wrong. In Luke chapter 16, the rich man who went to Hades asked Abraham when he was over the Gulf, he said, will you send Lazarus back? That's funny about him. He's so committed Lazarus to him. Will you send Lazarus to my brothers and tell them that this place exists? And Abraham said to him, it doesn't matter if we send back Jacob. He's got Moses and the prophets. If he doesn't believe them, he's not going to believe Lazarus resurrected from the dead. There were people who saw the Lord Jesus Christ for 3 years straight. They followed him all over the place, never believed him. Is that going to convince you? It's not. You would say to yourself that maybe I was fooled. You would rationalize it away. Rationalism and empiricism does not lead you to God. It often takes you away from God. The only thing that's going to lead you to God is faith. End of story. So when he says it is enough, he says pretty much, demonstrate the Father, and I will be very pleased. The object of the communication of doctrine is not to please you. The object of doctrine is not designed. Doctrine is not designed to satisfy your intellectual curiosity. Not to do that. It's to show you who God is, who you are, and his grace procedures in the pre-designed form of God. Doctrine is not designed to satisfy your intellectual curiosity or to entertain you. That's a real trap for a pastor. To entertain. It's oftentimes more fun for me to see lit up faces, smiling, laughing. I tell jokes and they laugh. And it's a real trap for a pastor teacher to be an entertainer. To be someone who wants to be liked and loved. It's a real trap. I am so thankful to Pastor Bob McLaughlin for teaching me how to do that. He taught us that for years, over and over and over, to not do it, to teach the truth. God will provide the listeners. God will always provide the listeners. I am not going to entertain you, but if you stick with me, I will teach you the spiritual lesson. And I will provide you the information that it takes to grow up and glorify God. Doctrine has been given so to reveal the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as he said, if you would come to know me, you will know the Father. Therefore, if you come to know him, and I'll teach you him, therefore you will know the Father and the Father's will. But Philip has a problem, as so many do. Philip has a problem, and his problem is the inability to concentrate on the unseen. His inability to concentrate on what needs faith and not his rational. The non-rational. He doesn't like that. He wants proof. The faith in the Christian way of life is God's program for the Christian way of life. Philip's problem is his inability to mix doctrine with faith. Many people are looking for proof from God, like Philip is here, show us. And that's okay. There's nothing wrong with a desire to want to see God. That's a good desire. There's nothing wrong with that. However, after God records his prophecies, and we have only looked at two when we looked at prophecies, when God performs his miracles, and he has, when God says the Son to become a man and fulfill those prophecies and to perform more miracles himself, he offers salvation to people by faith alone. He provides ambassadors on the earth whose lives have been changed by the Word of God, and they're in front of substance, if he sees only humanistic religion, it might not be Judaism like this fig tree represents, but be any system that you come up with. If it's humanistic, rationalistic, empiricistic, which is not a word, whatever it is, if it is not faith in the Word of God, God is going to see. And he's going to say, no fruit. No fruit in you. He's in God. Please God by our faith. Not by our sight. Not by our impressions. Not by our rationalism. We saw it last night in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. God is not. God makes the wise man of this earth foolish. There is no God. I love how it's called the echoes. I love it, man. The ark is awesome. So again, leaves represent the overt showing or a facade of spirituality, but the lack of fruit signifies that whatever your facade is, it represents something fake. We also know that the rich man died. I already mentioned him, and he died and went to Hades. But in Hades, there's a good side and a bad side. By the way, the good side is empty right now. So if anybody goes to Hades, they're going to automatically be on the bad side. It's kind of hot there. You should bring some sunscreen. He asked Abraham on the good side if he would send Lazarus to tell his brothers about this place. And here's what Abraham replied. Luke 16, verse 31. But he said to him, if they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded if someone rises from the dead. What? You mean to tell me, God, that if I see my great-great-grandfather walk into my kitchen tomorrow, that I'm not going to be convinced? Yeah, you bet. That's what God says. But this will convince me? God says yes. Absolutely. The word is power. Resurrected bodies are not. Empiricism, rationalism is not power. Faith is power. Because God's truth is eternal. God is eternal. He's infinite. You're finite. You can't know him without faith. It's an amazing system that God has given. It's absolutely amazing. Go to Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1. Caution you on Hebrews 2. This is about an unbeliever. Right? This is for the unbeliever, but it still states the same principle. The writer of Hebrews says, for this reason we, now when he says we, he doesn't mean believers. He means Jews. This letter was written to Jews. The writer is a believer. The ones that he's writing to are unbelievers. So when he says we, he's not talking about believers. He's talking about Jews. For this reason, we Jews pay much closer attention to what we have heard, lest we drift away from it. For if the word spoken through angels proved unalterable, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? After it was at first spoken through the Lord, it was confirmed to us by those who heard, God also bearing witness with them, both by signs and wonders, and by various miracles, and by gifts of God the Holy Spirit according to his will. The word was preached to angels. There are elect angels, and there are fallen angels. From what we gather by the book of Revelation, 2/3 of God's angels said, no thank you. is